have a couple of real cute but short Sunday humors. A little boy refused to do his homework, and his father was trying to convince him to do it. And he said to his son, "You know, when Abraham Lincoln was your size, he read his books by the firelight." And the little boy responded, "Well, when Lincoln was your age, he was president." I thought that was pretty cute, too. Then there's another one about a little boy. It says, the five-year-old went on a weekend trip with his grandparents. On the way home, they stopped at a country restaurant to eat. The little boy left the table for a short minute to go to the restroom, but he immediately came back, very puzzled. And he looked up at his grandpa, and he said, "Am I a rooster or am I a hen?" I think when they put those up there, they certainly weren't thinking of kids, right? What are some of the other ones that they put up? Rooster and hen, and what's some of the other ones?
Bucks and does.
Bucks and does, okay. I'm trying to think. I thought I saw one at, was it the coffee cup? It might say men and women now, but I think it said something else at one other time, and it was really cute, but it was one I would have never thought of. So, kings and queens, that's another one. There you go. That's a good one. So this morning, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word, and we're just ready, Father, to receive and to be fed your word this morning. And thank you, Father, for bringing those faithful ones in and that their hearts are prepared. And Father, just minister to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, in Romans chapter 1:17, it says, the just shall live by faith. So faith is the substance of the things that we hope for. I've talked about this before. And I think right now, out of all times, with everything going on, like, for example, what Eleanor's going through and what Alice is going through, we're all going through something. What Mary's going through with the grief. All of us are going through something today. And what's it take to get us on the other side of that something? That's faith. So some people might say, well, I'm not a person of faith. But in reality, we all have some kind of faith. Everyone applies faith even though they have no faith in God. You go, ooh, where's she going with this morning? Well, first off, everyone has a measure of faith. Okay, God says that in his word, that I give to all men a measure of faith. But everyone has faith in something. And what I mean by that is some people, and we probably know somebody like this, where they have faith in themselves. And if that's the case, eventually they're going to get disappointed, right? Or if they have faith in someone else, eventually they're going to be disappointed. Well, let's go a step further. If we have faith in the political system, which will even be a bigger disappointment, but we all believe in something every single day, and so therefore we're applying our faith on a daily basis. For example, if we go to a restaurant, when we go to that restaurant, maybe first off, we're saying, oh, that person said that restaurant's pretty good. So you're having faith or believing that what that person said about that restaurant is a good place for you to go eat. Well, then secondly, when you go into that restaurant, you're going to have faith or believe that when you go in there, that the food's going to be prepared properly, the food's going to be fresh, the service is going to be good, and the prices are going to be good, okay? Because you don't want food poisoning, and you don't want to be, you know, handing out your last $5 bill, thinking that it was, you know, only going to cost you, you know, 10, and it cost you 15 or 20 instead. Or let's go to something bigger than the restaurant. By, let's say, you got on an airplane. Maybe it was a 747. A 747 now weighs 300,000 pounds. So we certainly know that it takes a lot of faith to get in that airplane and know that it's going to get up in the air and it's going to take you to the destination you want to go, right? That's going to take a lot of faith. So I know my first big trip this last year, did down to see my son in Florida, when they kicked that throttle and you went, whoof, like that in your seat, I was definitely praying. I was praying in the spirit then. So, but let's say, get in an elevator. We have faith to believe that when we get in that elevator, that those cables are going to work properly and that they've been maintained and that it's always checked. We have faith in that. How about the pharmacy? When we go to a pharmacist, or you know, like Walgreens or CVS or the one in Princeton, we know that we're going to have faith that that pharmacist is qualified, they're certified qualified, and that when they put the right pills in the right bottle, that you're going to get what you're supposed to have. So why is it then when someone comes along and says, have faith in God, some people think you're totally insane? But yet, every day we walk in faith to some degree, in some way, be it something or someone. So in Romans, again, it says, the just shall live by faith. It doesn't say the just shall live by their emotions, because we know one day they're up here and the next day they're down here. So we can't depend on our emotions to get us from A to B. So, and again, as I said earlier, Hebrews 11, faith is the substance. So here's your faith. That's the substance that you need, that you have to apply it to the faith to get you where you want to be. You have to use faith mixed with the hope to bring that thing about. For example, Porter, they've been praying and praying and praying that he gets to come home. They didn't waver on that faith. They didn't waver. They just kept standing upon what the Word said, what the Word said. And Eleanor said it so good this morning. She goes, God has got a plan for him. God has got something planned for him. She goes, I don't know what it is, but that's your faith speaking, Eleanor. When you said that, that's your faith speaking. I don't know what it is, but I know God's got something for him. It's like when I prayed over Michael last week. When I laid my hands on him, I could feel the power of God on him. I know God has got something for that boy, and it's going to be remarkable. It might be in music. It might be preaching the gospel. It might be ministering to other peers. I don't know what it is, but it's going to be a life changer for Michael. So we have to stand on the Word. And it says further in that scripture, it says through the faith of the people in the days of old, they earned a good reputation. So if we stand on the gospel and we apply our faith with the Word, then what's going to happen? We're going to build up a good reputation. People are going to trust us. They're going to come to us for guidance. Not that they're going to put their hope or trust in you or their faith in you, but they're going to feel that they can come to you like this church. This is a foundation. They know they can come here and they're not going to get judged. They know they can come here and receive love. And they know that they can come here and the doors are always open to them. Okay? So, we know God can do things when he wants, where he wants, and through whom he wants. But isn't it interesting that God chooses to work through people? For example, in Exodus 14, God could have sovereignly parted the Red Sea himself, but he didn't. He went through a person. He went through Moses. And he told Moses, take your staff, lift it up, put your hands up, and when you do that, the sea will part, and the Israelites will go across the sea on dry land. God could have brought down, it talks about it in Kings, 1 Kings actually, where God could have brought down the fire from heaven, and yet he didn't. He used Elijah. He asked Elijah to pray. See, that's what the thing is. When things happen here, it's because God wants his word to move things here. And when we apply God's word, those things will happen on this earth. So when God asked Elijah to rain fire from heaven, it happened. Okay, so now Jesus, I like the way it was written here. It says Jesus could have healed everyone anywhere at any time on his earthly ministry. Jesus didn't have to lay his hands on people as a point of contact for faith. He could have counted to three and said, "You're all healed," and that would have been that would have been it. But that isn't the way Jesus worked. Jesus worked in the lives of people who called out to him. For example, in Mark 10, Bartimaeus, he was blind. He heard Jesus was coming, and when he heard Jesus coming, he said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus heard him. And yet, when he started yelling, the others yelled out, "Bartimaeus, be quiet, be quiet." And that made Bartimaeus even yell louder for Jesus. Jesus called him over, had him brought over, and he asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want from me?" And Jesus, and Bartimaeus says, "I want to be healed." Jesus said, "Go, for you have been made whole." Then there's this quieter kind of faith. The woman who had dealt with an issue of blood for years and years and years, spent every penny that she had to find out what was wrong and how it could be fixed. She spent everything she had. And yet, what she did with her quiet kind of faith is when she saw him in the crowd, she didn't have to say, "Jesus!" She just said to herself, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment. If I could just touch..." She didn't say that to somebody. She didn't say, "If I could just get over it, excuse me, She didn't say anything to them. She just made her way through the crowd, and she had it up here. "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed." Faith is often found in the most unexpected and the most unusual places. And it's grace, not the place, that makes a person a believer. Remember at the Pool of Bethesda where they would run in when the water started bubbling and they would try to get in there? That was about the place. But Jesus says, "That's not, you don't need that anymore. I'm here. You don't need a special place or a special time. All you need is me." In John chapter 9, the Lord laid this one on me this morning as I was going through this. Jesus heals a blind man from birth. Jesus spits in the dirt and makes clay, and he puts it on his eyes and tells him to go wash. And this is what he says: "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." The pool of Siloam. Siloam means scent. Wow. And the man did. Jesus sent him there. I want you to understand, it wasn't the place of where he was sent. I want you to understand that this blind man who could not see Jesus trusted, believed, stood in faith totally on what he said because he couldn't physically see him. And I think we can all agree that when it comes to faith, we want to use all of our senses to help us use our faith. And yet, he had one sense he couldn't use, and that was he could not see him. But the point being this, is he believed, he had faith, and he did what Jesus asked him to do. He was sent from unbelief to belief in that very moment. I mean, look, who'd have ever thought that taking mud and putting it on his eyes, but it wasn't the method. But Jesus was showing us it doesn't matter how it's done, it doesn't matter where it's done, it doesn't matter when it's done, but that it's done. But the only way it can be done is if we apply our faith. The only way we can have faith is when we get into the Word. If we're going through a valley of maybe, let's say, anger, that's when we go to the Scriptures, and in the back of your Bible, you'll find it says topical or concordance, where you can find anger. And there's all these different Scriptures that you can go to help you deal with anger. Or if you're in fear, it'll tell you all these different Scriptures to go to if you're dealing with fear. You know, it talks about, okay, kind of popped into my head, now it's gone. It'll come back. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever gone up to somebody and you couldn't wait to be with them, and you're going through something, and when you get to that person, you're pouring your heart out. I mean, you wouldn't share just this with just anybody. And you start pouring your heart out on this person, what you're going through right now, and that person is like, what time is it now? I had a luncheon. Can you make this quick? You know, or maybe you kind of expected a little more empathy or a little more sympathy, or maybe just some understanding, or just the fact that they were there to listen. Or maybe you were looking for some suggestions. But that individual, it looked like you were bothering them as you're pouring your heart out to them. It's kind of hurts, doesn't it? Well, let's think about the woman in Mark 7. She was a Gentile, and she goes to Jesus, and she's going to Jesus because she wants Jesus to deliver her daughter from the power of demons. And she goes to Jesus, and this is what Jesus says in verse 27. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. Doesn't sound very sympathetic now, does it? In other words, what he was saying, first, I have to feed the Jewish people. They're my people. They're my family. And then if there's anything left over, I'll take care of you. That's kind of how it might have come across. But Jesus wasn't doing that. What he was trying to do is bring that faith that was down here up and out. And it did. It happened. It brought forth what he wanted to come to the surface. He drew it out of her. And this is what she responded with. She said, "That's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates." She was saying, even though I am a Gentile, whatever's left over once you've ministered to your people, the Jews, at the feasting table, we'll take what's ever left over. That was her faith talking when she said that. It goes back to, it's not about the time. It's not about the place. It's not how it's been delivered. It's about the faith. But if you don't get the word in you, that faith isn't going to grow. Or it won't stay. It'll stay stagnant. So when you come here and you get fed the word, or you study the word, or read the word, or hear the word, or you listen to music, Christian music, whatever, you know, hymns, or, you know, I like my contemporary Christian music. I listen to it 24/7. Country Christian music. It's out there. Daily devotionals. We can get fed the word all the time. There's plenty of teachings on TV. We can get the word in us. The more we get the word in us, in one form or another, that just helps our faith grow more and more and more. Because there's going to be times when we're going to have to use our faith, not only for ourselves, but for somebody else whose faith isn't quite where yours is at the same level yours is. Or your faith might have to advance so that others see how you worked through your situation because of your faith. That's going to cause their faith to grow. Sometimes it seems, though, that God isn't listening to us, but he is always listening. And guess what? He He's always paying attention to us. And sometimes it's hard, or the hardest, to respond or to accept when we don't get a response from God. But we want to understand something here. That things are, a lot of times when we don't get a reply, a lot of times there's something going on behind the scenes that we're not even aware of. Like in Daniel chapter 10, it talks about where the angel finally gets to Daniel. And it says the angel told Daniel that God heard his prayer and he was on his way from heaven with the answer. And he responds and he says, "But for 21 days the spirit prince of the king of Persia blocked my way." God had sent what Daniel needed, but the angel came up against a battle in the spirit realm. And he fought. And then it says, and Michael, one of the archangels, had to come along and help that angel so that the angel and Michael, the archangel, could overtake this, what they called the kingdom of the prince of the kingdom of Persia. They had to overtake him in order for him to get to Daniel. So sometimes we don't see the answers right away. I have a young couple who have been married, I would say maybe 7 years now, and they still don't have any children. And she wants a child in the worst way. And she had actually was going to, they had fostered a little boy, and then they found the birth father, and the birth father wanted the child. And it devastated her, because she had this little boy for 2 or 3 years. And it was heart-wrenching. And she quit doing fostering because it was like losing a child. It just, the grief, it was just like going through grief for her. And she went through a number of years where they had no children again. And then she finally decided, if I want children, if this is the way it's got to be in order for me to have children, I'm going to go back into fostering. They now have another child that they are fostering. And now that's kind of on the line. They're not sure. They're waiting to see if the birth father will take the child. But God has a plan. It's not might not exactly be the plan that we think it should be, but it's God's plan. And it will always come as a blessing to us, maybe down the road, a little bit further than we want, but it will still be a blessing. God's, again, his delays aren't necessarily a denial of a prayer that you want answered. It might be just a delay. So, when we keep praying, because when we pray, our faith is working and causing God to move on our behalf. And in closing, so where are you with your faith today? Is it in yourself? Is it in someone else? Is it in the creation of things? Or is it in the one who created all things? The maker, the one who makes all things possible, the mighty king, the master of everything. Amen. I've got a song to share with you today. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valleys. When things go wrong, Lord, you'll make them right. He's the God of the good times. He's still God in the bad times. He's the God of the day. He's still God in the night.
Well, you talk of faith when you're up on that mountain, and talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in those valleys of trials and temptations, that's when your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valleys. When things go wrong, oh Lord, you'll make them right. You're the God of the good times, you're still God in the bad times. You're the God of the day, you're still God in my nights, you're still God in my days, you're still God in my nights.